My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where EV enthusiasts talk about all things Cybertruck and EVs as well as technology. Unfortunately, we don't have Will tonight because he's working, but we have Chase. My name is Eric. Chase, how are you doing today, man?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, just hanging in there. Enjoying my truck now that I have it back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so you're enjoying your truck. You have the Ford Lightning. I'm enjoying my new truck, the Hummer EV SUV. Let me ask you a question real quick, because I posted a video this week and I referred to it as a truck because I feel like it's a truck, right? It's a big vehicle, and but it's not a traditional like truck. It doesn't have a bed in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong for calling it a truck?
I don't think you're wrong, but I've seen people actually refer to like an SUV as a truck as well.
Yeah.
It's like, aren't certain SUVs on the same frame as the truck?
Well, I was just going to say, it's, I mean, look at the Hummer EV, right? It's, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, it just has a bed in the back. So, I caught myself saying it and then I kind of went, well, I don't know. I'm probably going to get beat up in my comments. I didn't. So I kind of felt, okay about it, but, yeah, I posted a video, the video, it's on my YTube right now. It's I went on a 900-mile or so road trip.
Oh, nice.
And so I kind of just show my experience in the charging. You know, Cybertruck did a great job. All Teslas do a great job of you put in the address, your destination, and it'll kind of map everything out for you. Hummer does that well, except it doesn't really take you to Tesla superchargers. I didn't understand it at the time. Why? I figured it out later going to Reddit. It taught me a lot. So apparently the Hummer doesn't recommend Tesla superchargers because you're capped out at 150 kilowatt charging speeds. So it understands that you can get much higher charging speeds if you go to Electrify America or EVgo or one of those other charging networks.
Right.
I don't like those networks because in my experience, even before this Hummer EV, they're not as reliable. And the funny part about my road trip is I think I made like six charging stops. And the very last one was at EVgo. And when I showed up, there was four charging stalls and two of them were out of service. And so it was a whole thing. So it kind of proved my point of like why I like the Tesla network. But if you want the fastest speeds, pro tip for anybody that doesn't have a Tesla, it's probably best to go to a different network.
Well, does it have CarPlay or Android Play? I don't know which kind of phone you have.
Yeah, it has CarPlay. Yeah.
Because I just noticed that I've been using that a lot more in the Ford because the navigation's way better. Like, that was one of my big gripes when I first got it. Like, navigation just felt clunky and it was hard to use. But yeah, CarPlay has been amazing. And you can get, I think you have to pay for the premium, but the A Better Route has a CarPlay app as well.
So. Yeah, they do. Yeah, you do have to pay for that, though. Let me ask you this. On the Ford Lightning, do you know the provider for their navigation? Is it proprietary or is it Google-based?
I think it might be proprietary because it's not. It doesn't show anything like Google. Usually Google will like tag it if it was from them. But yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, the thing I do like about the Hummer is that it's Google-based. Pretty much the whole UI is like Google-based. So you can literally say like, hey, Google, take me to wherever. And it'll just do it for you. So
that's nice.
It's nice because I do agree with you. CarPlay navigation, either whether you're using the Google Maps or you're using Apple Maps, typically is better than most car manufacturers' proprietary navigation. But because this is Google based in the Hummer, it's kind of the same thing as using the Google Maps. So I like it. It does really well. It knows the battery of the Hummer. It knows where to take you. And it does a good job with all that. But that was the only thing. On my road trip, I'm like, why isn't this thing wanting to take me to Tesla superchargers? I now know. It's not wanting to take me there because it's trying to give me the fastest speeds and get me on the road quicker. So I can appreciate that. But me not knowing that, I was bypassing it and finding Tesla superchargers, navigating there, and then getting there going, why am I only getting 150 kilowatts? Mm-hmm. What the heck is going on? I was so used to the Cybertruck getting up to 250, or now with the V4s, you know, even higher. Yeah. But
I will say, though, like, that all being said, Tesla's navigation is still the king. I don't think you can beat it being seamlessly integrated with what you need charging wise and navigation.
Yeah, I actually went on Reddit. I uploaded my video to Reddit, to the Hummer EV forums, and I actually had somebody ask me that they mentioned that they have a Tesla and that they're thinking about getting something other than a Tesla as, I think, a second vehicle, but they're worried about the software. And I told them, I said, it's, you can't compete with Tesla software. It's just, I'd be the biggest liar in the world if I was going to sit here and try to convince people that the Hummer EV software and UI is better than Tesla. It's not. But they did mention in their question that they prefer or they like CarPlay. And I said, well, Hummer has CarPlay. It works well. If that's what you like, it works well. But by no means is it going to be a Tesla's UI. So you're 100% right, especially with the Cybertruck. Cybertruck, their whole, the way they do it all is just second to none by far.
Here's a good question for you. Because you have the SUV version, right? So
yes.
Yep. It has a third row?
No, it doesn't have a third row.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to bring up, like, there was a good conversation about third row and EVs. Like, what do you get this week that I saw an X? And I was hoping that had a third row. So never mind. All right.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine that asked me, he goes, hey, does it have a third row? And I go, no. He goes, dang it. He goes, I want one really bad.
Yeah.
But my wife requires a third row. He only has two kids. So I was like, why do you need a third row? He goes, for whatever reason, she thinks we need a third row. I kind of get it.
He doesn't know it yet. He doesn't know it yet, but they're having another kid.
Yes. Probably.
Either she's pregnant or she's planning to get pregnant.
Yeah, she's looking ahead. She's going, no, we need a third row. So,
yeah.
And I kind of get it. I wish there was a third row just because I have nieces, nephews, you know, so it's like, hey, I have more room. I could throw more people in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. I don't need it for daily use at all. I have two kids and that's it. So I'm fine with just a 5-seater. But yeah, if there was a third row available, I would want it just for, you know, the ability. Yeah, it's a little bit of a disappointment that it doesn't have it, but I don't need it. So it's not that big of a deal.
I will say, with the Ford Lightning, just kind of Ford F-150s in general, that back seat, tons of room, and it easily can fit like an adult in between both car seats back there. So, still good.
I don't have the car seats anymore, but yeah, you know what? I have a buddy that has two little kids, so maybe I need to do a car seat test, you know, put the two car seats in, and then I get in the middle and see the comfort. But yeah, the Hummer has good leg room and space in the back as well. Yeah, the road trip was good. The kids had plenty of space, all the luggage, everything in the back. So overall, it handled it well. But now that I know that I should probably go to Electrify America and EVgo chargers and other networks for those faster speeds, I'm kind of excited for my next road trip because I want to test that. Mm. That could be a huge disaster because, like I'm telling you, coming back. Oh, that's another thing. When I went to the EVgo, catch this. I mentioned it in the video. We get there. Two of the stalls are down, unavailable. The other two are occupied. There's a guy waiting in line. Now I come, so I'm the second guy in line. There's a Rivian R1S there. The guy that was waiting in line, I'm talking to him, and he goes, yeah, they've been here for a while. And so I walked up to them, and I noticed, because on the EVgo and on the EVgo stall, there's a screen and it tells you state of charge and all your stats right there. They're at 99%. And they're just sitting there. Well, they weren't even sitting there. They're outside of the car, just kind of hanging out. And it's like, you're at 99%. Unplug and get the heck out of here. What are you doing?
Are there no idle fees with EVgo? Like the last time I actually tried to go to an EVgo station, it was actually completely off. So I had to go somewhere else. But just anecdotally, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they were trying to get to 100%. And 100%. And I walked up to them, I talked to them just very nicely, but I was kind of like, hey, we're waiting. And that's going to take a while. And so they're like, oh, we're so sorry. I just think they're new to EV life.
Yeah.
So they just did it.
Got to fill it up.
Even think about it. Yeah. Fill it up. And we're just hanging out. No big deal. So they unplugged, they left, they apologized, and it was all good. But yeah, I was just like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You know, and it was the very last charging stop, and it's like almost 10 o'clock at night. I want to get home. I'm tired. It's been a 7-hour drive, and you guys are charging to 100%. What are you guys doing?
And it's, how is it? I guess, how heavy is it? Like, it's over 6,000, I would assume, right? Like,
it's pretty heavy. It's, yeah. I believe it's close to 9,000 pounds.
So you can still try to get the tax benefit if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. We have Chris in chat saying, howdy, folks. Howdy, Chris. Mark's in chat. Good evening. Good evening, Mark. Jay, as always, says hi. Hi, Jay. Appreciate you guys joining us this evening. Few topics that we want to talk about. We want to talk about Slate. Slate released some of their reservation numbers. I know we talked about them a few episodes ago. Plus, there's some new competition for, I guess you would call, the mini or midsize truck. I call it mini because they're smaller, cool little trucks. There's new competition in that space. A robo-taxi looks like it might need a new name. And we're getting close to June where they're going to have their event. Range extender looks like that's a no-go.
What range extender?
I don't know what you're talking about. Silverado EV has just beat the record for most range for EV. So that's exciting. And then last but not least, we want to talk about Optimus and how it's now a dancing machine.
It's real.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has better dance moves than myself. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, that's why you need an Optimus. So you can just
put a hat
on it. And
if somebody wants to dance with me, I just dance with my robot.
We kid. And then 10 years from now, people are going to be like learning how to ballroom dance with their Optimus.
It's for sure coming. Let's talk about, I want to pull up, let's see here. I want to talk about Slate. First, let's get that going. So right here, Slate has released their reservation numbers. They've hit already 100,000 reservations, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Because I know we were talking about how we hope they make it. And as we learned, Amazon or Jeff Bezos is, I guess, some type of investor backing the company. So obviously, they have some high rollers behind them, but it's also good to see that the community is supporting them, and there's already 100,000 reservations, so that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, because, really hope they can deliver on this.
Yeah, we want to see this hit the market, for sure.
Definitely one of the cheapest EVs that'll be on the market, too. I mean, it's a win-win.
It's going to be cheap, but I think on our podcast episode, we talked about how, because it's modular, how exciting that is for the EV space. You know, kind of went over all of the use cases for that. And so it's something definitely needed, I think.
Agreed. Yeah. They're doing too much in a way. Like, they don't really, like, if they can deliver on just like a small truck that, you know, hits that 20,000, 25,000 mark, they already win.
Yeah. But
the fact that they're like going all in and making a truck that can convert into an SUV or a cool looking Jeep, like do all these things, becomes like a tinker toy for grownups basically. And it's cheap. Like, it's solid.
I think that's, as we were talking on that episode, I kind of was just getting more excited about it just from that standpoint of how modular it is, how you can just really make it your own. And because, I mean, let's be real, because I think it's they're advertising it as 28,000 starting off. I mean, when I was growing up, 28,000 was a good price to pay for a car, you know. But in nowadays, I mean, 28,000, it's like, wow, that's cheap, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so with that being said, $28,000, you can get this vehicle that you can just really have a lot of fun with. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Plus, being a startup, I don't think they don't have the luxury that Tesla did, where they could, you know, dangle a cheap price and then rug pull at the end, and everyone's like, okay, I'll still buy it. But with this, they have to hit this. So
no, Yeah, Tesla has a following that, let's be real, let's call it a spade a spade. There's a lot of people in that are fans of Tesla, which I'm a fan of Tesla, so don't crucify me. But there's a lot of people out there that Tesla could do no wrong, right?
True.
They can do bait and switch all they want, and it doesn't matter. You know, it's we're all in, and we're going to buy it anyways. We can tell you it's going to cost a dollar and then charge you $10,000. You're like, hey, all right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you. Slate can't do that, because I think if they're what's getting everybody excited, I think, is that price tag. I think all the modular pieces is cool. But I think there's a lot of people that are that want to get into EV, but just can't afford the $100,000. You know, price tag, right? Or even $60,000, you know, so when they see sub 30, you know, they're in, and they'll build it up as they go. And that's what's really cool. 28,000, you can buy it for 28. And as time goes on, you kind of add those extra pieces to get you, you know, to where you wanted it to be. You don't need to pay that initial price. So that's what's really cool about it. But it looks like Slate's going to have a little bit of competition, and let's bring that up. And
they're definitely having a lot more fun than Slate are at the moment. Yes, they have it.
Yep. You know, but this is what I'm going to say. This is kind of hitting some of the same marks as the Slate, but just not doing it as cool, in my personal opinion.
That's fair.
You know, it's just, I don't like the front end. It's
like,
kind of
they just
quirky.
Completely chopped it off. Like it's like a pug.
Yeah, like, so
they just chopped the front off.
So this is the, how do you pronounce this?
Tilo?
Tilo. Tilo. This is the Tilo. I guess the MT1 is what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
Right here you could see there's a like an SUV version of it. I guess, I mean, it's hitting, it says right, look, here's a good thing. Tacoma capacity in the footprint of a Mini Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because they're really going in, Slate and Tilo, on this, what I want to call like a mini truck.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really like it. I don't like the look of it. I don't like, it's just not as cool.
Yeah. In a way, they're kind of,
say it, but that's my feeling.
They're kind of baking in opportunity in the European market this way too, being a smaller vehicle.
You're not wrong. And you know what? I didn't think about that. But yeah, I think, yeah, this is going to sell probably in Europe and probably do really, really well. But I can't get over that front end.
And for those watching, we used to have Cybertrucks. So it's kind of ironic that we were like scoffing at the looks of this when. But I like the Cybertruck, so I might be biased.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Cybertruck, though, I think the difference is the Cybertruck went for this very futuristic, zombie apocalyptic, survival vehicle type of look. The stainless steel, the bulletproof panels. So they went for something different. This is just quirky, you know, and just... I don't know. So
yeah.
I hate to say that because, you know, I always want everybody to succeed. But when I'm sitting there and I'm going, hey, I'm going to buy one of these smaller trucks. I got a Slate over here and I got this Tilo over there. It's not doing it for me. It's not going to get my money. So, but I mean, I'm happy to see that somebody else is willing to take a stab at it and throw that hat into the ring, you know. We'll see what happens.
We didn't mention the biggest thing about this is that they're kind of poising themselves to kind of go up against Slate, obviously, but the price, where we were just saying Slate's truck is going to be what, 20-25, this is starting at 40.
Yeah,
and that I think is gonna hurt them if they are both coming into the market at the same time, I think.
Yeah, and you know what, it's going to be interesting to see what Slate's modular pieces are going to come in at price wise. They've already announced, you know, they already talked about their wrap kits of being about $500. So I don't think they're going to sit there and go, we got a $28,000 car. We want to sell you this cheap priced vehicle, and then we're going to really sock it to you on the parts. I don't think they're going to do that, because I think that really just kills everything for them. Right.
Yeah. But traditional car makers do that already. So,
and I think if their idea is to be different. Then you can't do that. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see, you know, like we said, we want Slate to succeed. I think they will. Mark's in chat. He says the Slate is pretty much an ideal fleet vehicle, as repairs as well as maintenance and fueling would be cheap and easy.
100%.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it any better. I think that's what they're going for. Yeah. And I think they're going to hit it. They're going to do a good job.
And honestly, the secret sauce, like we kind of mentioned it, is that they've got backing with Jeff Bezos and some Amazon people, which they know manufacturing. So they're really kind of getting themselves into a good spot to be successful. So,
and that's the problem with any startup, right? Is the growing pains and the manufacturing pains. And if you have somebody that understands that, or at least if anything has the funds to support it, you're already ahead of the game. So you're probably, you know, your future's looking up. Talking about Tesla and Robotaxi. So it looks like the Robotaxi trademark was refused for being too generic. And so it's, you know, the Robotaxi launch, I guess, is supposed to be happening next month in right there in your neck of the woods, Chase, in Austin, Texas. And I'm curious to see what they're going to come up with. If they can't get the Robotaxi name,
what's the backup plan? I think they'll just go with it. Like, they'll still call it the Robotaxi. They just won't have it trademarked.
They won't have the ability to trademark it. Yeah, that's probably what they'll end up doing. But it's funny because it also says that the applications for Tesla for the trademark on term Cybercab have been halted due to other companies pursuing similar cyber trademarks, according to TechCrunch. So Cybercab, and because, you know, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is I remember when we were, I don't remember if it was as we were approaching the unveiling that they did, or maybe the night of, we were curious and we're a little bit confused. What's the name? Is it Cybercab? Is it Robotaxi? Because they were kind of speaking both, right?
Yeah.
And now it kind of seems like they're not able to get the trademarks for either one of them. So, like you said, and remember, they had this issue with the Model 3. They wanted to call it the Model E.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford jumped in and said, no, you can't do that, because they already had that trademark. And obviously, they came out with the Mach-E.
Right.
And so, you know, there was some conflict there, and they kind of nixed and blocked Tesla from that, which ultimately came out to be the Model 3, which 3 is just a reverse E in their minds. So I wonder what they're going to call it. I'm curious. So anybody that's watching either right now live or watches it later, leave a comment. Give us some creative names that we can, you know, maybe throw out there to Tesla, because I'm curious.
Elon Taxi. I'm excited. Like, I'm curious if it would pick me up at my house. Like, I'm a little further out of town, if it would come out here. But yeah, I'm definitely going to jump on that as soon as I possibly can.
You're right there, you know? So, you know, we're going to rely on you to get out into the streets and try to figure out a way, you know, some people as well, and get out there and see if you can find somebody to give you a full experience of the Robotaxi.
Yeah, because I read that it was not just the Robotaxis like we saw from the unveiling, but it's like mostly Model Ys that are going to be running FSD. But yeah, I'm really curious to see, especially if it's going to have a driver or not.
Yeah, I think I've seen something somewhere. Well, I can show you. We could talk about this a little bit. There was, you know, the drone goes over there to the Giga Texas. I don't know if you saw this, but you could see right here, there's two vehicles driving on the lot that have the camouflage on the front of them, which is kind of interesting. I mean, to me, they look like Model Ys, but why would they have Model Ys covered up?
Or could either they Model look like Y the or say, maybe
size of a Model Y?
Could be X's, like an X refresh.
It could be.
That's the only thing that would make sense. if they're going to do away with like the front, that kind of like what they did with the Model Y, where they got rid of the headlights and went to the cyber bar, if they would do that to the X as well. But also notice there's no driver in the Cybertruck.
I was just going to say
themselves.
It. Yeah. And you know what? My sick mind, I don't know. I look at this and I go, it's like this Cybertruck is birthing another Cybertruck.
Yes. This is exactly the birth canal for Cybertrucks.
Yeah. But yes, well, there's no driver.
Yeah. So cool. But the other one I was going to point out, I was trying to figure out what, I think it was early on in the video. Yeah. So the Cybertruck that goes by, what's on the roof?
I did notice that as well. At first I thought it was initially I thought it was the roof rack, but no, that's smaller than the width of the Cybertruck. So that is, that is kind of interesting.
Something factory specific or.
Yeah. I don't know. You can learn a lot when you fly a drone over any Tesla factory. I also wanted to talk about something that I'm disappointed in, but if I still had my Cybertruck, I'd be extremely disappointed in. And that is Tesla officially nixing and getting rid of the range extender.
Yeah, didn't you pre-order one?
I did not.
I did not,
and I regretted it after not doing it initially, because I always thought, okay, I didn't do it at time of configuration, and I thought, okay, no big deal, I'll be able to do that at a later date, and then I wasn't. I was never able to do it. And I was always kind of frustrated by then. I was like, man, I screwed up, I should have done it, but now I think I kind of know why. For whatever reason, I would love to know the reason. Is it a cost thing? Is it a supply a supply issue with batteries? They figured, you know, we got to put the batteries in vehicles as opposed to this. Mm-hmm. Is it just a lack of demand? Is it complications with, some type of retrofit? I don't know, or is it just they figured it's going to be so heavy and it's just going to cause more issues for people than anything else. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is kind of like the final straw of all of the promises they had from day one, from the reveal of like both the price and then the range and all these other things. Like we already had the rug pull on the price when they showed us the rear wheel drive version and the price of that one. So I think this is the final straw, but it sucks. But I'm not really sure if they really even needed it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like the range was fine. It's not like they're trying to be something it's not. So they might have came to that same conclusion. They're like, is it worth the cost, to add these? Because they were even saying that you would have to like go and have it installed in person. So it's just an added cost there too. It's probably not worth it.
I'm curious to know if anybody that watches us had a reservation order for the range extender. So if you have, leave us a comment, let us know, and then let us know if you're disappointed or if you kind of regretted it after you did it. So this is a good thing for you. You're going to get your money back and no big deal. But I would really be curious to know, out of all of the Cybertruck orders, what's the percentage of people that actually reserved a range extender? Because like I wanted one, but I didn't reserve one.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, yeah, it could have been low enough where they're like, okay, it justifies it as well.
It doesn't make any sense.
I joke that they should come out with their own like gas generator. You just toss it in the bed, extend out your range the old fashioned way.
That would cause so much. Social media will have a field day with that. I'll tell you that much. All of the Tesla haters will just, because this is what I'll tell you. Our buddies, Brian and Jerry, who do a lot of these cyber odysseys and go on these overlanding and off-roading trips that they do, they have generators in the back. They put gas generators in the back, and they're always saying that when they go out there, it's kind of like, we don't want any of these Tesla haters to see us with a gas generator, because the second they see us, it's like, oh, see, I told you, you can't do it without a generator. So if Tesla was to actually embrace that and go, hey, here we go, we're going to sell you a Tesla branded gas generator. Oh my gosh, that's it. The Tesla haters are going to go in and have a field day with that for sure.
I mean, just common sense.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, you know? Speaking of Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
So Jerry, if anybody's seen, he's been on our podcast promoting a Glamis at the Cyber Odyssey that I actually attended as well a few months back. But Jerry hit it big time. He's like Chase now. You can see here, Jerry actually went up and climbed China Wall, which is one of the tallest dunes in Glamis. And this is something he's been wanting to do with the Cybertruck, and he actually accomplished it. And the official Cybertruck X account reposted this video. So congratulations to Jerry for, you know, being a celebrity now. He's big time.
I really like he also posted some of the failures. Like, it wasn't like first try. Like, there was a couple of attempts. So
no,
it's not easy, like, for any vehicle. Really.
Definitely not. Yeah, he's a good follow if you like, obviously, if you like Cybertrucks, but if you like off-roading with your Cybertruck, or if you just like to see Cybertrucks doing cool stuff, give Jerry a follow. Here, let me plug his...
At Cyber Off-Road.
Yep. At Cyber Off-Road. And yeah, you can see here he's posted these videos. And yeah, he's 100% transparent. He'll show you where he screws up. Or not where he screws up, but where the Cybertruck has its, shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
But Jerry's a very persistent guy, man. He doesn't let anything slow him down. If there's an issue, he 100% will figure out a solution. And as you can see, he failed a few times getting up China Wall, but he eventually made it. So congratulations to Jerry and Brian and Adele, who was there in the other Cybertruck that was there in that video.
I just noticed he mentioned that the degrees temperature out there was 108. That's more impressive. Like, seeing that battery actually perform in the high heat too.
Yeah, he invited me on this trip. I wasn't able to go, unfortunately. But when I saw the temperatures, I was like, I don't know. I'll let you do this. I'll sit this one out, Jerry. But once again, congratulations, Jerry, on that. Another thing, we were talking about range extender getting nixed. I want to talk about the Silverado EV. So Edmunds, as they always do, did a range test with EV work truck. So it is the work truck variant. But they hit a whopping, 539 miles on a single charge.
It's impressive.
Very impressive.
Really impressive, yeah.
So it's officially the longest range electric vehicle that there is on the market currently.
Until the Ram.
Well, the Ram. But see, now that's where you kind of get into a little gray area, I guess you could say, as far as the Ram is going to have the generator on board, right? This doesn't. This is just full-on EV. And that's cool. That's exciting for people that complain or need maximum range. The Silverado is pretty much your vehicle. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I want to talk about too is that I'm noticing the same thing with the Hummer EV. It's rated for, my version is rated for 315 miles of range. That's what GM is advertising my Hummer at.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this right now, I've charged it and it tells me on the screen that I'm going to get like 360 miles. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And I understand some people say, well, it's going to adjust itself. But the fact that you're able to, they're underestimating their range, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Because nice. I will say one thing about Tesla is Tesla overestimates. It has to be like optimal conditions for them, which is fine. But GM seems to kind of be a leader in this space when it comes to telling you what the range is and then outperforming that. Because you can see right here, it got 539 miles of range. That's 47 miles past its EPA estimate. And even in this report, they talk about how they also did test on the RST, which and the Sierra EV Denali. And it says right here, both of those trucks exceeded the EPA estimates by 34 miles and 47 miles, respectively. So it kind of seems like that's the theme with GM. They're giving you their estimate and they know you're going to exceed that. So I think that's cool.
That's cool. I'm just kind of curious if that's like a conscious decision or what the reasoning is behind it, other than just trying to be nice, not like ruin expectations.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what the reasoning would be other than just wanting people to be happy.
I did just see that they call out that it weighs, that work version actually weighs like 1,500 pounds less than both the Lightning R1T and the Cybertruck. So definitely the weight helps that range.
Well, no, it says right here, 1,500 pounds more.
More. Never mind. That's even more impressive. Sorry, I read it wrong.
Now, let's be honest and real. It has a 205 kilowatt hour battery pack. So it's a huge battery.
Big battery.
Right? I think the Cybertruck has about 123.
Right.
So it's almost double a Cybertruck. So that's contributing, obviously, to the mileage. But still, I mean, at 539 miles, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I don't know. I've said that this even when we first talked about the truck when it first came out. But I wish they would have just not chose this body. Like the whole Avalanche thing still gets me. Like I would love this truck and I would buy it right now. But that's my pet peeve right there. Like the Avalanche was a terrible, terrible truck. Shouldn't have been made. And then they're keeping it alive with this.
Yeah. In my test drive video, Alex, the salesman that I was talking to in the video, I mentioned that to him. I go, this wind flare deal, this thing in the rear, I'm just not a big fan of it. And I understand that they did it for aerodynamics and 100%, drag and all that. So I get it. And that contributes to these numbers. But I'm in agreement with you. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Is it the deal breaker for me? No. But I wish it wasn't there. So, but I mean, 539 miles. I mean,
yeah, can't beat that. Especially for towing. That gives you a nice little cushion.
Yeah, because I think with towing, at least with the Cybertruck, in my experience, you're getting, you know, about a third, you know, a little bit more.
Half than at best.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think you get around half if you're towing like an Airstream, something that's very aerodynamic. But if you're towing a traditional like travel trailer, a big box behind you, you're about 35-40% of what your range is. And so, I mean, at 539 miles, then you're doing a pretty good job. You're able to get a pretty good distance, even towing. So
yeah,
it's not bad. Another thing that I wanted to talk about was Optimus. You know, let's get into Optimus, because this guy is a dancing machine. Let's go here.
Jerry's in the chat. He said it was hot out in the desert, the Glamis.
Yeah, yeah. It was very hot. Freaking 108 degrees. But here you go. Here's Optimus doing its dance moves. Look at this guy.
And this is so this is kind of a callback too. If you remember, what was it, 2021, when they brought out a guy in a suit, up on stage, and he was dancing like this. And so yeah, it's a really, really cool callback to see, you know, where they came in, you know, 4 years.
But the real impressive thing for me is, and obviously to dance like this, and this is why I can't dance like this, is the footwork. But look at how the feet, I mean, it's just, it's super impressive on how, like the limbs, right? If you look at the ankles and the feet and the toes, I mean, it doesn't have toes, but how it bends
in the front. It does have toes. You can see the toe, little flip. So like it's kind of like a paddle toe.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. So it's funny because I kind of have some more insight that first part of my career was as an animator. So this is literally right up my alley of we have to recreate, you know, movement in real life in a kind of simulated setting, whether it's for a movie or for a video game. So that's kind of what they're doing, actually. They're actually just gathering up mocap data of people doing the dance in a suit, getting that data into the computer, and then using that data to actually train Optimus to be able to recreate it using its, you know, servos and motors. But what's more impressive is that the whole thing must be like weighted and balanced more or less like a human would be. So like the legs can't be heavier than the arms or the torso, for example. Like, it's got to be pretty much as close as they can get to human proportions and weight.
Yeah, it's. But you obviously know a lot more about that than me. But yeah, it's pretty cool. But like you were talking about earlier that how there's going to be a day, I think, where, you know, it's almost like Star Wars, you know, when they go into these bars.
Yeah.
And you see all these different, you know, there's the humans and then there's all these aliens or, you know, robots and things. We're going to walk into a bar or a dance club and there's going to be robots dancing with people. I mean, at some point, right? That's going to be the future. I mean,
it's weird, but yeah, that's the kind of the future we're heading towards. But I don't know if it'll be like weird or it'll just be slowly like we'll start to see them around and just become normal and be like, oh yeah, we got the, you know, that's the robot bar, or like no robots allowed, you know?
Yeah, they're going to be, you know, you're going to walk up with your date that's a robot and they're going to be like, no, you can't bring her in there. What's going on?
It's wild. Well, because I mean, that's the plan, is that hopefully these are, you know, as cheap as a really cheap car, like we're saying, like $20,000, and you buy one and never have to mow your lawn again because Optimus does it for you. Like, Elon, there's so many things it could do with it.
Elon wants an Optimus in every home, right? I mean, that's his plan, obviously from a financial standpoint, but I think for a lot of everyday tasks, that's kind of what they're looking at. And so, you know, it's crazy. And if that thing's moving like that, I mean, now I'm a full believer of it can do the tasks that, you know, those everyday tasks, you know, I mean, it's flexibility and abilities to move is fantastic.
Yeah. If anything, it's going to take a lot of people, a lot of manual labor jobs away as well. If you think about it, because it's not just geared towards, hey, you're going to work in a factory and carry this box from A to B, because that's kind of the stuff we already have now. But like this could do anything a human could. So in theory, you could have it up on a roof, you know, shoveling shingles or doing whatever you can think of.
No, yeah, most definitely. This
cool and scary at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell, right? I'm kind of at a loss for words. Mm-hmm. It's like
the possibility.
It's just crazy. You know, they showed that video where it was kind of stumbling down the little hill. Right. Remember way back when? And it was impressive from the standpoint of balance. You know, it didn't just fall over. But if it's able to just move like that, I mean, it's wild to me. So
opens up the possibility. And it's only going to get better. Like with AI, we're seeing it, you know, double in capability every other month. So I would assume, you know, if they're able to make it from zero to here in 4 years, we're pretty close.
AI is crazy. AI is definitely crazy. Something that I want to show too before we wrap things up is I came across this, and this is crazy scary. So apparently a Cybertruck was totaled in Mexico, and apparently there was no deaths, but you can really see how this Cybertruck, I'm curious to know exactly what happened, but not only is it flipped over, but the whole front end is like just ripped apart. It's almost like a freaking dinosaur ripped it apart.
This is worse than the one that blew up. At least you can understand it was still a Cybertruck. This is like completely just,
it's insane. Done. It's insane how it's like what happened, right? Yeah, it's almost like if it would got blown up, but it, you know, I don't know. But this is also a testament to the safety, not only of a Cybertruck, but I think all Teslas. They are proven year after year to be the safest vehicles on the road. And so if there was, you know, it states on this post that there was no deaths, that is wild to see a vehicle in that state and there's nobody was killed, thank God, you know?
Yeah, and it looks wild. I was thinking maybe it could be AI because we really haven't heard the story yet. Like it is just a generated image, but you can see even like the Goodyear logo on the tire is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I doubt it's AI, but
no, yeah, I don't think it's AI. Yeah, it's crazy. Mark is in chat. He says, was it hit by 18-wheeler, a train? ?
Have to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. This is something wild because once again, I mean, when you're talking about 1,000-pound, roughly 7,000-pound vehicle with that low center of gravity, it's almost virtually impossible to flip. So like I said, for it to have flipped, and obviously this thing got hit by something ridiculously strong, right? Because it's just ripped apart and then it's flipped over. So once again, happy to hear that if it's true, you know, and I'm happy to hear that nobody was killed in this crash. But when I saw this, I went, wow, that's pretty crazy. Crazy to see. So, but like I said, it goes into showing how safe a Tesla vehicle is.
I was just thinking about that too, because we had mentioned the other day about the parental controls on the Cybertruck, because there was another the case where it was like the football player's son was 18, got in the Cybertruck and wrecked it, put it into a tree. I was just thinking about that with the Lightning. I was like, that's something that Ford really needs, is like parental controls on the EVs as well. Because like the Lightning's still 600 horsepower. The thing is just as fast as a Cybertruck, dual wheel or dual motor. So it'd be nice to have some guardrails.
Yeah, no, I will tell you this. My son, my eldest son, who actually turns 14 this week, so happy birthday to him.
Nice.
He's, you know, we've been talking and I've been telling him, hey man, in a year and a half, 2 years, you're going to be driving. And so that's why I'm also very excited about the Slate, right? Because I'm like, oh, that could be a very cool vehicle for him. But the nice part is he wants an electric vehicle. And the reason why I like that is what you just said, the parental controls. You know, the ability to lock the speed, you know, where he's restricted on how fast he can go. The fact that, let's be real, I can track where the vehicle is. There's a lot of safety things that Tesla is doing that nobody else is doing. I mean, this just from Sentry mode alone, you know, being able to, let's be real, we were all kids and we all made mistakes. My first vehicle, there were scratches and dents and things that happened that I either contributed to, or maybe I didn't contribute to. It's like now you can, and kids are always like, hey, so what happened here? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, now I can sit there and say, okay, I'm going to go find out, you know.
I'm not going to be able to get away with it anymore and be like, how did you get this dent? Like, I don't know. The car jumped out in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can go see, okay, what really happened here, right? So there's so much that Tesla's doing. And we were talking about at the beginning of the show of how their UI, their software is just way ahead of everybody else. And that, for that reason alone, I think Tesla's, especially now, I mean, you can get a Model 3 for like $15,000. You know, yeah, it's used and has some miles on it. But once again, it's an electric vehicle. Miles don't matter as much as other, like other ICE vehicles. So yeah, no, parental controls is a big thing. And then safety. Safety's huge, especially when you have young kids that are out there driving.
Yeah. Or not driving, if it's got FSD.
Hey, yes, yeah, that's another thing, right? Now you can get a vehicle and have it in your household, and it can chauffeur everybody around, including your kids, take them to the movies, take them to go see their friends, take them to school, you know, drop them off at work. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting next month to see what Tesla is going to show, and for them to finally put the robo-taxis out there on the roads, and then Chase is going to report back to us and tell us how that first drive goes.
I wonder if they can get away with putting Optimus in the driver's seat for the robo-taxis, if they could like skirt the law that way, if they could prove that Optimus can drive the car.
That would be crazy.
Or just do it for fun. I think it'd be hilarious to see a robo-taxi show up.
Just for kicks and giggles, but that would be crazy. That would be crazy if you officially had a chauffeur. But I mean, there's no point, right? The FSD is going to do it for you. But like, you know, you could have Optimus get in the car and drive you around. So I don't know.
It'd be cool. Yeah. Either way.
It would be cool. But other than that, that's all I have. Chase, anything else that you wanted to add on to it?
I think that's about it.
All right.
Oh, actually, sorry. Quick thing that Will pointed out. Rivian. If you're looking to buy, or sorry, looking to lease a Rivian right now, there's a great deal going on until the end of the month that I just saw pop up.
Oh, yeah. He did send us that.
They're basically covering your down payment, so you can get into the lease for zero down.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that a few weeks ago, but we didn't have the screenshot, so he sent that to us. Another thing is I actually looked into this because if you see right here, we'll cover your down payment, and it has a little one and down at the fine print. So it's essentially, I believe, $6,500 that they're willing to cover. $6,500 or $7,500, but nonetheless, I mean, they're pretty much giving you $6,500.
Yeah.
$1,000. And they're saying, hey, come on over to Rivian. We're going to help you with the cost to get in behind the wheel of one of these. So So, all right, that's all I got. I appreciate everybody that joined us in chat. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Chase. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Awesome. Thanks, y'all.